Hey, this is Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, and you're listening to WMFO Mefod.
No way. I'm B.B. King, and when I'm in Boston, Lucille is on 91.5 FM, WMFO. Did you hear me? I said I'm B.B. King. Ha ha. On radio station 91.5 FM, WMFO. Did you get it, Lucille? Okay.
Fenway Park in Boston is a lyric little bandbox of a ballpark. Everything is painted green and seems in curiously sharp focus, like the inside of an old-fashioned peeping-type Easter egg. It was built in 1912 and rebuilt in 1934, and offers, as do most Boston artifacts, a compromise between man's Euclidean determinations and nature's beguiling irregularities. Its right field is one of the deepest in the American League, while its left field is the shortest. The high left field wall, 315 feet from home plate along the foul line, virtually thrusts its surface at right-handed hitters. On the afternoon of Wednesday, September 28th, I and 10,453 others had shown up primarily because this was the Red Sox' last home game of the season, and therefore the last time in all eternity that their regular left fielder, known to the headlines as Ted, Kid, Splinter, Thumper, TW, and most cloyingly, Mr. Wonderful, would play in Boston. What will we do without Ted, Hub fans ask, ran the headline on a newspaper being read by a bulb-nosed cigar smoker a few rows away.
He was up second in the eighth. This was almost certainly his last time to come to the plate in Fenway Park, and instead of merely cheering, as we had at his three previous appearances, we stood, all of us, stood and applauded. Have you ever heard applause in a ballpark? Just applause, no calling, no whistling, just an ocean of hand claps, minute after minute, burst after burst, crowding and running together in continuous succession like the pushes of surf at the edge of the sand. There was not a boo in it. It seemed to renew itself out of a shifting set of memories as the kid, the Marine, the veteran of feuds and failures and injuries, the friend of children, and the enduring old pro evolved down the bright tunnel of 21 summers toward this moment. At last, the umpire signaled for Fisher to pitch. Fisher wound up, and the applause sank into a hush. Understand that we were a crowd of rational people. We knew that a home run cannot be produced at will. The right pitch must be perfectly met, and luck must ride with the ball. Three innings before, we had seen a brave effort fail. Nevertheless, there will always lurk, around a corner in a pocket of our knowledge of the odds, an indefensible hope. And this was one of the times which you now and then find in sports, when a density of expectation hangs in the air.
Fisher, after his unsettling wait, was wide with the first pitch. He put the second one over, and Williams swung mightily and missed. The crowd grunted, seeing that classic swing, so long and smooth and quick, exposed, naked in its failure. Fisher threw the third one. Williams swung again, and there it was. The ball climbed on the diagonal line into the vast volume of air over center field. It was in the books while it was still in the sky. Brandt ran back to the deepest corner of the outfield grass. The ball descended beyond his reach and struck in the crotch where the bullpen met the wall, bounced chunkily, and as far as I could see, vanished. Like a feather caught in a vortex, Williams ran around the square of bases at the center of our beseeching screaming. He ran as he always ran out home runs. Hurriedly, unsmiling, head down, as if our praise were a storm of rain to get out of. He didn't tip his cap. Though he thumped, wept, and chanted, "We want Ted," for minutes after he hid in the dugout, he did not come back. Our noise for some seconds passed beyond excitement into a kind of immense open anguish, a wailing, a cry to be saved. But immortality is non-transferable. The paper said the other players, and even the umpires on the field, begged him to come out and acknowledge us in some way. But he never had and did not now. Gods do not answer letters.
Well, we gonna rock to the rhythm and the blues tonight. Rock is everything gonna be high, cause tonight we gonna rock to the rhythm and the blues. Well, I got a little gal I call Ivy, Ivy, come from Memphis, Memphis, Tennessee, and tonight we gonna rock and rock around with Ivy, Ivy, Ivy. Ivy says she gonna do me right tonight. I'm gonna wear my blue suede shoes tonight, and tonight we gonna rock and rock around with Ivy, Ivy, Ivy. Well, we're gonna rock to the rhythm and the blues tonight. Cause everything gonna be high, cause tonight we
beat tonight. If you try to put a stop to me tonight, 'cause tonight we gonna rock around. Well, we gonna rock to the rhythm and the blues tonight. Rock's everything gonna be high, 'cause tonight we gonna rock to the rhythm and the blues. We'll be right back.
federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Out of sensation, like you're under sedation. Pride, Major. Your phone we might use? Great Scott! Say, one of you guys know how to Madison?
For God's sake, keep a grip on yourself, Janet.
Janet!
Dr. Scott!
Janet!
Ah, Rooker!
I knew he was in with a bad crowd.
Damn it. I knew I should have gotten that spare tire fixed.
What diabolical plan had she Frank crazed imagination?
The intruder is entering the building, Master, master.
Don't stop me now.
I'm a shooter, to this guy like a tiger. Hi, this is Greg Allman, and you're listening to WMFO 91.5 FM.
Goodbye, then goodbye, then goodbye, then goodbye, then goodbye, then goodbye. goodbye, then goodbye, then goodbye. Then goodbye, then goodbye, then goodbye.
Legalize it. Don't criticize it. Don't criticize it.
Good morning and welcome to WMFO 91.5 FM, Tufts Free Forum, commercial free, community-based radio. And you're about to listen to a slice of that community-based socialist alternative radio here every other week from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sundays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. alternating Sundays. I'll be your host today for Socialist Alternative Radio. My name is Jeff, and my sometime co-host Diego was on his way, but he got a flat tire on his bike. He will not be showing. So you're going to be with me today. And basically, today's show we're dedicating to the Verizon strikers in solidarity with the Verizon strikers who have been out for about 30 days, for about a month, or maybe a little more than that. And you may see their picket lines around here and there in front of Verizon stores.